Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 29, 2017. Answers to your questions, part 205. Question: how would you advise a contemporary person to live without using others for his own well-being? Who provides a person with bread, clothes, etc.? The study of Kabbalah will not fill a person and his family, capitalism will not disappear tomorrow morning, and the group will not earn a living for his family. All these animal needs create and cultivate most of the egoism that continues in the group. Answer: Kabbalah explains how to live in order to start feeling the upper world, the system governing our world. This is realized in the group to the extent it fulfills the conditions of the upper world in the relations between its members. Until you have increased and can occupy the land. Torah, Exodus 23:28-23:30, and I will send the Tzarah before you, and it will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them away from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field outnumber you. I will drive them out from before you little by little, until you have increased and can occupy the land. There are countless qualities and desires in a person. Gradually correcting them, one must replace them with the qualities of the Creator, substituting the egoistic use for oneself with altruistic use, and the hatred for others with love. It is written, I will not drive them away from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. The land is desire. How can we work with them? The fact is that we are arranged according to the four-step internal principle, and therefore, we correct ourselves gradually from the lighter to the coarser egoistic layers. This is an individual process typical for a person who wants to achieve the goal. Yet, for people who do not understand and do not realize their egoistic nature, such actions must be performed over them as over small children. From CapTV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, July 1, 2013. The Revelation of Kabbalah from Generation to Generation. Question: the Book of Creation, Sefer Yetzirah, written by Abraham, is a magnificent, poetic, and rigidly constructed work. It is a pleasure to read, but only occasional thoughts are understandable. Is there a key to understand it? Answer: for this one must study Kabbalah. For example, how is science different in every generation? It is by the fact that it develops and more and reveals the previously unknown. Therefore, Kabbalists in each generation, as in science, can reveal more and more. The Book of Abraham is written more smoothly than the Book of Adam. Abraham, through his attainments, complemented what Adam had written and revealed Kabbalah more deeply. And all the others followed him. Once the group of Abraham began the spiritual work, it started to attain the quality of bestowal in the connection between them, the upper quality, the Creator. If people restore good connections of mutual love, mutual responsibility, and mutual understanding between them, then to the extent that these connections are true, the Creator is revealed within them. This network of connections is called a vessel in which the upper force is revealed. Abraham discovered the method of attaining the upper force in the connection between people. And Moses mastered this method in practice. People of his generation underwent tremendous egoistic descents that are called the Egyptian exile. They plunged into a very great egoism, but at the same time, they were able to rise above it in their unification, so that in the connection of two opposite tendencies, a great egoistic rejection and simultaneously a common aspiration to connection, separation and rapprochement, they created conditions in which the Creator was revealed. This was the achievement of Moses that he described in the Torah. What Moses and his group did was a big leap forward compared to what Abraham achieved. Therefore, the generation of Moses completely rose above our world, revealed the Creator in the connection between them, and reached the highest state that has never been overcome until our time. To this day, Moses is the greatest spiritual leader of the people. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 23rd of July 2017. New Life Number 416. Community Life, the Elderly.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the Golden Age. And today we'd like to take a look at it from a different perspective of how to improve our relationships. On each of our shows, we learn that the most important thing in life is our relationships. If they'll be good, everything will be great. If they won't, then things won't be that great. So, Nitza, please.
So, maybe just say that many people asked us about the Golden Age. And like Owen said, our relationships change and it has a direct impact on our life. And many implications too. What's interesting about this age is, or in general, first let's say in general what the Golden Age is. It's from 65 and on, and this too is divided into three categories, 65 till 75, 75 till 85, and 85 and on. So on this show, we'd like to focus on the first decade, 65 till 75. It's a phase during which a person undergoes many changes all at once. For a long period in life, a person had different habits. He used to get up and go to work. Life had a certain routine. And all throughout life, we go through different stops, states, and everything that characterizes a person from the moment he's born is that a person has curiosity about what's going to be next. We have aspirations as to what do we want to achieve in life. We go from childhood to adolescence to maturity. We get married. We build a home. And then one day comes the age of 65, and it's something else. Suddenly it seems that most of our life is already behind us, and it's a very interesting point that a person goes through many changes, physical changes where the body no longer functions like it used to, you're not as fit as you used to be, different health problems, you retire from work, our relationships change, many changes all at once. So before we get into all of this, I'd like to ask about this period called the Golden Age. How does it contribute to a person's life? First of all, I wouldn't divide it this way, maybe, because this is a pretty modern kind of partition. Because today, the age of 65 is when you go on pension, so this is why you divide things this way. I don't know if it's correct. And altogether, because we're involved in industry and work, different workplaces, so we retire at this age. I don't know. Suppose there are people like me and many others that acquire lots of experience and wisdom until this age. like professors in universities and so on. They don't retire. They don't go on pension at the age of 65, but he finally reached this age, finally he can give something. And so at the age of 65, 75, they keep on working. They have no such concept as going on pension. So I'd say that it's something that I don't think we should divide it this way. Also, we see that we grow older, and part of the population from the age of 65 and on will go and grow in the direction of 80 and 90 and maybe 100 and more. Life expectancy grows. Yeah. And there too we have to see how does a person fulfill his life. It's not just that he has money and that's it. He has to nonetheless participate. We have to look at these things in general. How does a person participate in society and both contributes, enjoys receiving, enjoys giving, because all in all, our life consists of receiving and giving. How do we participate in this? Maybe in the past, the person used to work very intensively, physically, but now, differently. But I think that a person has to continue, and also it's our obligation to help this happen, and not just to give a person something to do so he won't be bored. Even though that this too is a social problem. We have to see how can we use all of these people, utilize them, and really find the need for them. How can they benefit society? As a quick solution, I'd give an example. We know, first of all, we're reaching a stage where at least a third or even more of the people, of the general population, is at this age. And it's going and growing from year to year, that our life expectancy is growing. And if so, how can we use these people? Physically, they can't do much. They have to only take care of themselves as much as they can. And maybe in this respect, we have to organize different circles and groups and organizations that will help out. But they can be as a resource of positive force for society, as a kind of a cushion to lean on, a good, nice cushion, that by them, society acquires this environmental atmosphere. They're everywhere. They're in the lower classes, the higher classes, rich, poor, wise, not so much. Doesn't matter who and what, they're everywhere. First of all, I'd send them to take different courses. Study. First of all, it's very good for a person in order to keep himself in a good, healthy, correct way. And I think that we understand now. I see that there are such things that are recommended for the elderly to solve different problems, questions and answers, crossword puzzles, different things. Different games, meaning to activate their mind and their memory. We have to use their free time and to attract all of them. And it's a matter of publicity, the appreciation that we give these people. We have to attract them to study in the university. Just like young people study, they study, only that young people study in order to use their profession throughout life. And these learn in order to use what they're learning now for the benefit of all of society. So that they'll get further knowledge about life, the correct attitude towards life, how to correct life, how to correct the world. They will be that positive, essential resource for all of society. And then they will give society a good, nice, positive direction by which all of society will change for the better. This is how I'd use the Golden Age. I don't know if to call it the Golden Age, but the age of retirement and on. It's very interesting because it reminded me that in the past, society had this kind of attitude towards the elders, which were the wisest people that you came to consult. Why did it change? Because the world doesn't need the wise elders, and there are no wise elders. In the past, it used to be practical sense, people that had experience, not everyone, but they had such experience in life that they could derive such conclusions that everyone could enjoy. But here I'm talking about a serious circle that people study for years, because what they learn, because all of us are interconnected, all ages, all the different kinds of populations, we're all connected. What they learn is something that everyone absorbs. It's as if there's a part of me now that's sitting in the university and learning about the correction of the world, and I'm impressed by that part. It influences me to some extent. Meaning what they're doing is in order to insert the correct attitude into society, the correct attitude towards life. And as a result, we'll feel a big change. Well, besides having to publicize the method of correction, about how to correctly be connected, about how can we promote society in the correct direction. But regarding these ages, you can do work in this direction and see how immediately they give this positive charge, stability, the spirit in society, environment, that things become more balanced. They add stability and the right direction to the development of society. What is the role of old age in a person's life? Why can't we live our life without growing old? A child, I understand, he grows up, reaches youth, reaches adulthood, and keeps on living this way. Why? After the peak, there's a new phase of growing old. I don't think that we should call it growing old. There is a part of life in which a person doesn't know how to do anything because he doesn't have the brains, and then from nature he's not given the force in order for him not to do foolish things and harm himself and harm others. Suppose till the age of 18, 20, that they too, they have the strength and they use it in our times, we see how. But for children, we see that they're not given lots of strength. If their strength corresponds with their brain, that's good, but not to have more physical strength than the brains they have, because it could be like a little child, but, you know, he's like this great big monkey that can do lots of problems in the world. So there is the age of adolescence, till the age of 20, suppose. Then from the age of 20 till the age of 60, 65, doesn't matter, more or less, that a person could be beneficial both for himself and also for others. And this is how he acts. So why doesn't it end there? Why another phase? Because he has another phase of adding wisdom to his life. This phase that we're talking about is the phase in which a person derives all the fruits, all the good results from life, that if he knows the secret of life, how to correctly live life, he can add to everyone. You're looking at society in a way that you divide them into individuals. And I divide society into young age, till the age of 20, suppose. In society, there's this one part till the age of 20. Then there is a part from 20 to 60. And then the part from 60 and on till 120. And every age has a role of its own. Three-thirds. The younger age of adolescence, they have to learn and they have to be taken care of by the older people, meaning under their supervision. Yeah, to be under the supervision of the second and third groups. The second group is per se, but it can't exactly function only per se because it's gradually advancing towards the third group. So it has to receive, especially from them, the guidance of whether they're functioning correctly. And the third group is the group that has acquired the wisdom, and it keeps on studying. The learning that I'm talking about is to learn about how should society be correctly connected, what goal should it achieve in life, and then how can the elderly influence the young, groups number one and two. Because, as it says, the elder is he who has acquired wisdom, and therefore we have to use them. Therefore, a person has no rest, and you're right. I remember myself. You reminded me of myself. When I was young, I looked at old people, and I was thinking, what are they living for? I looked at things rationally, naturally, and asked myself, what are these people living for? They're sitting and waiting to die. Have mercy. What's the use? No one's benefiting from it. The body keeps on living. We have to correct the matter. It's like you have a car that's standing in your backyard, and it's working all the time, using up fuel, making noise, disturbing everyone, emitting gases. What is it working for? It's not driving anywhere. It can't be useful. Turn it off. That's it. And there were such methods as to what to do with the elderly. Finish them off, and that's it. These things happened in the past. Because humanity doesn't understand that all of us are as one body. The young, the middle-aged, and the elderly, and that we're all as one body, as one man, that has all of these traits, all of these abilities, and that everyone has to help everyone else. And if we look at all the population this way, suddenly we'll be able to understand why our life that had the expectancy of 30 years. 300 years ago, people lived till the age of 35, 40, mostly. They didn't even hit 40. Only 300 years ago. Today, it's three times as much. People reached the age of 90. And it's not considered something extraordinary. Why does it happen this way in nature? Probably. There's a huge benefit to it, only we don't know how to use this. That these ages of 50, 60, 70 on are very useful, beneficial. And I'm not talking about myself, because I have my profession, my students, and so on. And in general, all the people that keep working with a younger audience that have acquired wisdom and they have to pass it on to others, But what I'm talking about is that we're not using the population that now went on pension and is now free to be fulfilled, and in its turn to fulfill society with the method of correction, with a new attitude towards life, with a feeling and understanding of what are we living for. Start teaching these elderly, and you'll see how through them everyone will acquire this wisdom and method, and as a result everyone will change. And there's no greater benevolence, kindness, than to send these people back to the university to study like the youngsters, how much they'll want it. How will it influence such a person? Suppose, even looking at my parents, suppose my parents will go to the university, how will it influence them mentally, physically? They'll start living anew. But the body, I mean, their entire life. But there is a feeling that the body is growing older, but internally you're developing. So what does it mean that they'll start feeling better? It has nothing to do with the body. A person that now gets the spirit of life, and he's taught new and different things, and he has to work with his mind and emotions, and he has to write things and do homework. It revives them. He doesn't simply sit and in 2 hours I'll eat something and then maybe I'll take my pills. It's terrible. They won't need pills. Won't need pills. And it will influence their health? Of course. To arrange them correctly, suddenly you'll discover the great asset that society has. And maybe the young don't have the time, even though that nowadays, suddenly there are many options as to how to organize them, to study and connect correctly. But the elderly, they're ready for it. It's easier with them. And through them, really, because they're everywhere, and then through them, it keeps spreading. I'd like to look at things through the eyes of an individual. So if a person reaches the age of 65, 70, and he goes through this special process that you told us about, how does it influence a person's emotional world? How does that person's attitude towards life change, towards the reality that he experiences? How does it influence the way that a person perceives old age? Because today it's perceived as something that's not that great, hard, there are many worries. It all depends on how you organize it. There are already such companies, societies, people that either organize these things because they benefit from it, or those that do it as charity. But people have to start doing things, working, and especially we're talking about intellectual work, because it influences the entire body and arranges it. And there are many researches about it, that people have to solve problems all the time, like children. They have to learn math and addition and everything. As if from the very start. It's like a constantly developing muscle. Yeah, because if they leave it, that's it. Everything degenerates. So the developmental process, that force that develops us as human beings, it's something that doesn't end at a certain point. It keeps on developing. Of course, because our body is on the animate level. It's like any other animal. And our human part, the human part in us, it could be crystal clear till the age of 120 and to end your life this way, like with a kiss. Our time's almost up and we have so many questions. I just came back from a trip with golden-aged people. About 15 or 18 couples. And I saw, first of all, these people, they're on fire. Most of them wrote down what the guide was telling. It was really interesting. They were following him around. This is like this. What did he say? As if it's that important. But it was really interesting to look at it, because for me it's really not important what he's saying there. And moving around. They're walking, and discussing, and writing, and calling their grandchildren with photographs and with a mobile, living up life. We'll have more discussions, but in the meantime, let's conclude. What is the role of the Golden Age in a person's life? To add wisdom to society, in short. To add the wisdom of life, practical sense, what's worthwhile living for. From the moment that you were born till the moment that you end life, this is what you actually learn at the end of life. Like Chabad Chagatnei. The elderly, as it says, is he who acquires wisdom. What kind of wisdom? The wisdom of life. So the role of this age is to accumulate the wisdom of life and to deliver it to all the other parts of the population for them to enjoy it and not err. The elderly have to take care of this. I think that that's the most important role in society. The kids, they don't have the brains for it. The others, they're bothered with work and running around. And only the elders can see everything and really help organize life. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.